Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
I'm at my mum and dad's house because mum's at the hospital having a CAT scan or something, and I'm holding the fort, and I've just been to the opticians, and that'll be a good place to start our podcast this week, wouldn't it?
Okay, well,
hello, everyone.
Do the housekeeping first. There's a good boy.
Yes, indeed. Let's just get stuck in, shall we? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Whatever Works. It's show 215. It's Monday, the 22nd of April. We're back with you again. Hello, Aidan. How are you keeping?
My God, have you got a bus to catch or something, Ted? I'm furious with my Ember coffee mug. Do you remember my coffee mug? My lovely heated coffee mug. And do you remember months ago now, it was mucking me about, and it was not working and working and heating and not heating, and I was drinking cold tea, and I was getting so peed off with it that I finally bought an alternative mug, which arrived, sat in a box, because the Ember mug came back to life. And after a little while, I thought, sod this, and I sent it back to Amazon. Well, guess what? It died again. It's called Vintoo, V-I-N-T-O-O. It died again just the other day, and it really wasn't working, and I was drinking cold tea again, and I said, that's it, enough is enough. Got onto Amazon, bought another Vintoo mug, a Vintoo S3 Pro. It arrived in a lovely box. It's a lovely mug. And guess what happened this morning?
Go on.
My Ember mug is fine. My Ember mug is working perfectly. My Ember mug is serving me piping hot tea, and I don't know what to do. Do I send this thing back again? Or do I just think, no, Aidan, your Ember mug is clearly on its last legs. Enjoy the new one.
Just use the Ember, because it's a better quality mug, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I have opened the Vintoo, and it's a lovely mug. It's very similar to the Ember, slightly bigger, slightly heavier.
Let's put a link to that one in the show notes.
Yes,
what
indeed.
Is it? V-I-M?
V-I-N. I'll send you the link, Ted. I'll send you through the link in a minute. When you start your first long, boring item, I'll send you the link.
the first boring item we need to do, really, is the furniture. Whateverworks.works is our website.
You've done that. Sorry.
You'll find links to all with... Shut up. Sit down in the corner. You'll find links to all we're going to talk about in today's show there. We've also got the MeWe group at Whatever Works. So come and join us there. Tell us whatever works in your life, as usual. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. And TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me and links to all I do. Right. Have you found the link yet?
I have. It's called Vistoo. I got it wrong. It's V-I-S-T-O-O, and I'm sending you the link now, but that's going to be very boring for our listeners, so we'll just let them know that the link will be in the show notes at the end of the day.
So why is it better than... why do you think it's now good? Because I thought you said it was second rate compared to the Ember.
I may have said that because last time I didn't open the box because it arrived and the Ember came back to life, and I thought I'll save this money and send it back. I mean, the other thing is it's cheaper than the Ember. It's 99 quid as opposed to 129 for a new Ember.
Right.
I don't want to bore our listeners, but the point being the Ember's come back to life. I'm actually drinking a cup of tea literally as we speak from the Ember, and... To be serious for a moment, I don't think I have any intention of sending the S3 back because clearly my Ember mug is dying. So I'll just wait till the next time it stops working, throw it at the wall and start using the Vistoo. The end.
Good idea.
How are you?
Well, I hope you have fun with that. I thought you said 99 quid, but I thought you said that you'd got your Ember mug at 99 quid. Was it on a special deal or something?
Oh, I can't remember. It was more than 5 minutes ago, Ted. How am I supposed to know?
I think it was on a Black Friday or something, and you got it for the 99 quid anyway. Anyway, it sounds as though it's not as reliable as the other one. The cheaper one seems to be having the potential at the moment to be a better mug, doesn't it?
I mean, I don't think I can knock the Ember. I mean, I've had it for years, and I've drunk tea out of it every single day, several cups. I mean, it's served me very well, even if it is on its last legs. It's done a good job. It's a good old retainer.
Indeed, yes. Now, where are we going to go from here? Oh, you wanted to talk about the last show, which was on April Fool's Day, and we didn't mention it.
Yeah, it was funny, dear listeners. Ted and I had our annual conversation of, well, it's April Fool's. Do we think we should do anything? And as always, we came to the conclusion that no, we shouldn't. And I just thought it's almost a better before discussion, really, isn't it? Except that it was never, for me, practical jokes were never and never will be funny. I don't understand practical jokes. I don't see the point of them. I think it's unkind and I don't have anything to do with them. And I can't. So for that reason, April Fool's is not a very good day for us to be making a podcast. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, okay.
And just to wonder whether anyone fancies, mooting a discussion in MeWe about practical jokes and whether any of our listeners do find them funny. It astonishes me when I watch these programs. Well, I don't watch, but, you know, once in a while you happen to see something on the television where somebody's having a practical joke played on them. And when the joke is revealed, they say, oh, you got me. Oh, dear, you had me there. And I can't understand that attitude because I would be furious. I would be saying, see you in court.
Yeah. But then we're old farts, probably. Young people probably are all into this. And when I was younger, I probably was as well. But you just get like Victor Meldrew, don't you, in the end? And, there you go. Do you know what I was going to talk about on this very show, in this very position, was that it's so stormy up in North Wales and it's just driving me nuts. But typically, since we have been, waiting to record for the last few days, it's suddenly turned all right again. But the wind along the North Wales coast, you know, about a week ago and then 2 weeks, 3 weeks before that, it was just really, really bad. Every day, every night, it was just wind. It's really, I think it beats it now, beats me now to my top spot of the most annoying climate issue, which is that I always moan about the sun and the heat, as you know. But now I think it's wind.
Well,
has it been windy down there and stormy?
Oh, it's bitter out. Oh, it's bitter out. It's been horrible. Yeah, really nasty Arctic wind. I totally agree, Ted. But, I mean, welcome to Climate Change England, mate. I mean, I'm afraid I think that's just something we're...
I'm in Wales.
Well, all right, Europe, world. We're not at home to Mr. Pedantic.
So it's been stormy there as well, then?
It's been stormy, yeah, certainly, and also cold. It's cold today, and it's forecast to remain cold for the rest of the week.
Well, we ought to make sure you get your all your injections and jabs this year.
Oh, very good. I see what you did there. I did indeed. 2 days ago, I had my COVID, because my mother got invited. As my mother is an elderly lady, she's invited to have a booster. And as her official carer, I can do the same, so I'm... I took the advantage to get a COVID jab the other day. So
I don't know when I'm getting mine. I'm 61, and right. I think I qualify, but only in the second batch or something. So mum and dad have now had two more than me, but then they're 25 years older than me. So
yes. I thought you were officially you're not caring for your parents in the same way I am for my mother.
I am. Yeah, I am. So I think if I made a fuss, I could actually get in quicker. But at the moment, they're just saying I'm in the 60 to whatever age it is bracket.
Yeah.
So
which now is fine. I mean, I made a fuss because when COVID was, you know, rife, I was nervous and made a great fuss and managed to get done.
Yeah.
So I'm now on the list. That's all.
Okay, I don't think I ever made it to the list. During COVID, my mum phoned up the doctors or whatever and said that my son is our carer and he's not been offered a jab. And they made it happen. In fact, they did it at the surgery. They said, yeah, send him down, we'll do it here. But ever since then, I don't seem to have the same status. So it's probably just because I'm not making enough fuss. But
I think it's because you shouldn't have destroyed the surgery while you were there, Ted. That's probably what it was.
Yeah, beating all the doctors up and smacking them around the head.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that I was... I'm not sure if... Did I mention on the last show that I allegedly have got this diabetes type 2 thing?
I think you may have let it slip out once or 50 times, yes.
Well, I'm still questioning the whole diagnosis. Anyway, we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, I thought that the rich tea fingers were the biscuit to have, because they were 31 calories, and I can't remember where I got that figure from.
Right.
But all the other biscuits are like 100 calories each, and this was 31, so you could have three. Rich tea fingers are really boring. But anyway, I found these other things called Fox's Party Rings, and they're 25 calories each, and I can't believe it. I put this little story in the MeWe group, actually, because I thought, That's really good. If someone has got diabetes, then, 25 calories each. But then Kev Wright, our good friend from Tech Talk UK, popped up and said, hang on a minute, they might be 25 calories, but they're also three times the amount of sugar. So if you are diabetes prone, then they're not the best thing after all. So we're back on rich tea fingers now, which apparently have got 23 calories. So you can have four of those instead of one other biscuit. Mind you, they're so boring, you wouldn't want four of them.
Now, that shows how stupid I am. Sorry, may I interrupt a second before you go and say, I thought sugar was calorific. I thought that's the point of sugar, that it's very, very calorific.
Oh, yeah, but he's counting blood sugar thingies for diabetes. It gets complicated.
Okay,
Don't worry about it. What I was going to say to you was, do you have biscuits? And if you do, what sort do you and mother have?
Mum's very keen on oaties.
Ah.
O-A-T-I-E-S, which you can get at Tesco, which I enjoy very much. I don't eat many biscuits because I'm nowadays trying to eat more healthily. My favourite biscuit in years gone by was the Bourbon. Oh, the good old chocolate Bourbon. Oh, yes, please. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I quite like those. But I think most people think they class them the same as custard creams. They're just kind of boring.
Yeah, well, they're dark custard creams, aren't they? Yes.
Indeed.
Why is that boring? Why are custard creams boring? One of my friends, my mother had one of her lady friends come to visit recently, and she bought some biscuits, which I'm glad to say my mother didn't like, because I love them. I'm not sure what they were, but they were quite a thin biscuit, but they were dark chocolate covered. Oh, absolutely divine.
Right.
I think, as I've said on the show before, I'm a big fan of dark chocolate, and these were dark chocolate covered, thin, crispy biscuits, and they were delicious.
Talking of which, have you found me any milk chocolate coffee beans yet?
No, and you know, we go to the Grape Tree. I usually get my chocolate covered beans from there, and almost everything is dark chocolate covered. You can get light milk chocolate covered raisins and I think peanuts, but no coffee beans. There seems to be something about the coffee that is beholden to dark chocolate, not other. I'm sorry about that, sir.
Probably a good thing, at least until I have my next blood test and I'm proven not to have diabetes.
You're going to will it away. But then again, I mean, that's half the battle. It's all psychological. So good on you, sir.
Yes, indeed. Right. Feedback from the last show.
Feedback comes from Mike Robbins, who says, I did actually quite miss it when Whatever Works moved to the 3-week cycle, but I also quite appreciate the reasons, and so no complaints. Thank you, Mike. I do very much enjoy Whatever Works, he says, and your other podcasts, Ted, and I hope you continue to keep going. Thank you very much,
Mike.
We enjoy making them. Well, I can only speak for myself and Whatever Works, but I have a ball. I have a blast with you, Ted, doing this. So, yes, long may it live.
I think this is the most fun podcast we do, followed by Tech Addicts, probably, and me and Gareth getting going. And Projector Room is quite a scream as well. But PFC is very formal.
You know, but I
Steve?
Like that. I like that, that formal, serious contrast. I mean, that's where it all began with PFC, isn't it? Before all
Indeed.
This madness blossomed forth. I mean, space for everything.
I think, thanks for your feedback, Mike. I think, Aidan, you would, if I kind of gave in, go monthly on the podcast. I've kind of held you off of that. If you monitor the activity in the Whatever Works MeWe group, however, I can see that perhaps you're right. You know, I do sometimes wonder if the idea has, after 8 years, run out of steam. And as we approach recording time, each time really I'm kind of scrabbling around to try and find stuff to put in, and the amount of engagement in the MeWe group is not like it was just a couple of years ago. Even there was a big flow of stuff from the members, but we'll keep going. 3 weeks is the mark at the moment, so we'll see how we get on. Aidan?
Yeah, I agree, and I think that the thing is, I mean, there is a group of stalwarts who are fabulous, wonderful people who really are keeping the show going. And of course, we know that there are many, many people who are listening to and enjoying the show, and we're very grateful for that. But to those silent people, get involved. Even if it's just once in a blue moon, just post
Indeed.
Something that we can bring to the show. If we see new names, then we'll certainly bring that material to the show. So get involved, people.
Absolutely. As indeed did David Baker, who told us that the item that we had on I Want One of Those was the
No,
Swan
I Wonder Who Bought It.
Sorry. I Wonder Who Bought It. I'm very confused. Was the Swan Alexa Smart Kettle, which we spoke about. I can honestly say, says David, it is very good. Leaving the pub the other day, my friend said she would go ahead and put the kettle on. When we got back a few minutes after her, she was made up with the fact that the kettle was already boiled when she got there. I had turned it on with the Alexa app on my phone without telling her. Oh. Works from wherever I am. Job done. You can turn your kettle on from Istanbul. The touch sensor buttons can be touched accidentally, however, so that's not such a good thing. And also, you do have to train yourself to refill it when you kind of go out. In fact, just keep the kettle full. Otherwise, whenever you want to turn it on from Istanbul, it might be empty.
Do you know what? I admire this because I would be too terrified. I've got a paranoia about electricity and things being on in the house when I'm not there. I wouldn't want to know that my kettle was in the house all on its own, boiling, about to catch fire.
Right.
You know? Anyway.
We'll come to the houses catching fire a bit later.
Oh, will we? Okay. Carry on. Anyway, yes. David carries on. David says, I also bought the lethal-looking cordless metal blade strimmer. Oh, yes, that horror film thing. My goodness. Yeah. That was David. He says, I ended up paying $34.99 for this in a sale, so it was a no-brainer and probably a no-toer too, as you said. Yes. It works well, he says. It does have a wire guard on the front. They must think people only move forwards. Yeah. Only move it forwards, yes. It came with a grass guard, two 24-volt batteries, a charger, safety glasses. They are safety glasses. I always remember you when I said on the show, I got my safety glasses, everyone has safety glasses, and you laughed a lot and said that was classic Aidan Bell to think everybody has safety glasses. Well, this comes with them, and gloves, yeah. And four metal blades. My God, you get the whole kit. And the blades look like knives for grass, he said. Mm. And two... Let me start this again, because it goes on and on. A grass guard, two 24-volt batteries, charger, safety glasses, gloves, four metal blades, two round saw blades for light pruning, plastic blades, and wire-tight blades. And all of that for what? $34.99? Yes, indeed. Cheap at half the price, David.
Yeah.
And going on, he says, given that a single one of these batteries normally costs £40, I'm so far very happy to just tell whoever uses it to go carefully and check my home insurance for liability cover. I should probably mention that I am blind and I live on my own, so I do have someone who comes around to do this stuff for me, so my toes are safe at least. David, with all respect to you, I mean... I'm smiling because to think that this lethal tool was not only bought by somebody to use in their garden, but it was bought by a blind man to use in your garden. I mean, hats off to you, Mike, and kudos to you for that and for keeping your toes throughout. Well
yeah,
done,
sure
sir.
You yeah. Continue to get the person round to do it.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And he says, and he may regret this now, but he says, by the way, I love all the podcasts you do, so thanks. Hey. Thank you to you too, David.
Thanks, David. That's some great feedback and great engagement, and well done indeed. Now, let's get on to the optician, because I just got back from the opticians. So it's a kind of... I've had my eye second test done, or whatever it was.
Yes.
They were scanning for something or other. I can't remember what it was, but she says that she's very happy with the result, and she'll see me in a year's time. Anyway, I sent off to this place Google's Goggles for You, which is not Google's, Goggles for You. And they, like you, I think, offered a pair of glasses that were supposed to be £93, but they offered them for £38 on the MFI style. Never yes. Is there not a sale going on? Anyway, so I've sent off for them, and I measured my pupillary distance in the mirror with a ruler, and hopefully I got it right. They went to do it. They haven't turned up yet. This was how long ago? It's 3 weeks ago since we recorded, so it must be two and something. Anyway, I contacted them. I said, where are my glasses? And they said, it can be 14 to 21 days for delivery. So they're apparently still coming, so I've got nothing to feed back on yet, because I haven't got them to try them to feed back. You ordered some as well, didn't you?
I did, and when yours and mine arrive, we can certainly compare notes and discuss. Yeah, I mean, I put you onto Goggles for You, and my situation is, if you remember, I talked about having moved into bifocals. I've been given bifocals and had to wear them because I tried varifocals, hated them, couldn't get on with them, and after 3 weeks of absolutely terrible time with them. I returned them, got my money back. Yeah. And then recently I realized my eyesight was really going and I had to do something and I moved into bifocals. And I have been begrudgingly, slowly getting used to them. And finally, I'm starting to feel all right in these horrible, horrible bifocal glasses. So I decided, well, now that I'm used to the bifocals, I wonder if I could now train myself that step further and go for varifocals, which would be much better and ultimately better glasses and easier to use. So, yeah, I followed suit and I've ordered a goggles for you, or googles for you, varifocals. Mine were £38, reduced from the real price of £88, and are also on their way. So hopefully by the next show we can discuss.
Excellent. We shall. We'll see if that is the case or not. In the meantime, the £505 pair of glasses, varifocals, that the optician wanted me to buy.
Yes.
I just said no to and stuff off. I can't afford it. So I went in there today and I said, just give me the cheapest, simplest pair of glasses you've got. And, you know, put one pair with my computer distance in.
Yes.
And one pair with my driving distance in. And then that's the end of it. So they've done that, and they're like £40 a pair. So two pairs of glasses, £40 each, which is pretty much the same as goggles for you. Now, they're not varifocals. So, again, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with the varifocals when they arrive. I'm looking forward to our conflab about it when we've both got them.
I am too, and I'm very much looking forward to trying them. Having hated them last time, I wonder, as I say, if now that I've worn bifocals for a month or two, I might be better get on with them better.
Indeed.
Anyway, let's move on before people fall asleep. I bought a window bird feeder.
Not another one.
Well, you know, I've got this cage at the window that the tits come and feed at, which I love. Well, we now have a pair of robins living in the garden close to my studio window, which is lovely. And I wanted to put I thought I'd try putting a bird feeder at the window. And I found an old one in the garage and stuck it to the window. And sure enough, the robins started coming to the window. So I thought, right, worth buying a decent one. Got onto our favourite shop and looked through them. And what I wanted, the USP that I was looking for, was a clear view, because most of the bird feeders that you stick on your window are made of or include a lot of perspex, and you have to look through a layer of perspex to see the birds. You see, you know, you look through your window, right, and the perspex bird feeder before you see the bird. I found one that's actually made of metal and has a metal frame, and so you're looking directly at the bird, which is much nicer. £15.99. I paid £14.99. It's gone up a whole pound since I bought it. And that's the point. I mean, there are dozens and dozens of these available. But the thing that I enjoyed about this one was the no view deteriorating perspex. Yeah, very nice.
Very nice.
It's a gold colour, gold bronze colour.
And have you seen any birds of that colour that they've got in the picture here? That red tropical looking bird.
I'm just opening Amazon now and having a look at the picture. Good Lord, no. No, that's some sort of phoenix.
Yeah, yes. Very good though.
I have no idea. I think that's somebody playing with Photoshop.
Indeed. Right, now on the last show, I brought my oximeter to the show.
You did.
And it was a cheap and kind of cheerful one, which I think it was in still using, wasn't it? Because I had it for since COVID. We compared notes on it.
Yes.
Anyway, Mum has not been well lately, as evidenced by the fact that she's in hospital today. And I thought, it's her birthday this week. I'm going to buy her one. But I won't buy the cheap and cheerful one that I got. I'll get one with a brand name or something. So I went in the hunt of one, and I saw this Braun one. And sure enough, it's really nice. £18.70 it was, instead of the like £14 or whatever mine was. Same sort of design, finger clip one. And it does the same things. It does your blood oxygen. It does your heartbeat ongoingly. It's got a sub menu where you can set alarms if you want to. So if you were in bed kind of quite a lot of the time, and you have this thing on your finger, then if the blood oxygen goes down below 95, you can set it so it beeps at you.
Oh, that's clever. So
there are some little extra bits in it, because it's a kind of known brand, and they've kind of added some features to it, I guess. But anyway, it's very nice. I mean, I'm not complaining about mine, because mine does the job perfectly well, but this seems to be like just a step further, and Mum's very pleased with it, and she's having fun playing with it and testing it against her Pixel watch as well. She keeps doing it on her finger, then looking at her watch and trying to catch it out. But she, so far, she said actually it's really accurate, and the two of them talk very nicely to each other.
Splendid, nice one. And you talk about the price being a little more than the one you bought before. I'm trying to remember what I paid for mine. I think I paid about 700 quid for mine because it was at the beginning of COVID, when they were, you know, like reindeer poo and nobody could buy any.
Wow.
I said reindeer poo. I think I meant unicorn. Reindeer poo is a little easier to get hold of. Anyway, move on, Aidan. Mike Latour brings us, now get this, the fellow Aidan. And he says, They almost spelled your name correctly, because this is Aidan with an E, and of course, as everybody knows, my name is Aidan with an A. The fellow Aidan is a coffee machine, and it makes coffee good enough for snobs with a single button. So it suits me perfectly, doesn't it? Mike says, Looking on Amazon at some of their... Oh, no, this is Ted saying that. Beg your pardon. So you were going to tell us that you looked at some more stuff.
Well, I followed his link that he supplied, and sure enough, this thing does look really interesting and ever so nicely made. So I followed through on, I did a fellow follow and went and looked at some of the other fellow stuff, and I wasn't really that sure if I was aware of it, but all of it looks really nice, ever so nicely designed. I put a link in the show notes to the page that kind of shows quite a few of the different designs, including my favourite, which is the Clyde Stovetop Tea Kettle, which just looks gorgeous. I mean, it's 100 quid or thereabouts, but, you know, I guess you get what you pay for, and this fellow stuff looks really nice. Have you ever heard of it? Have you got any fellow stuff?
No, I haven't, and I was going to say, do they all have men's names? I mean, the Clyde stuff. Wouldn't it be a miracle if they made the Ted Bluetooth speaker? You'd have to buy one of those.
Does look lovely though, doesn't it? I'm really very impressed with the, you know, the look of it all.
Yeah, I'm really tempted to buy the Aidan coffee machine, and thank goodness they spelt my name wrong, so I'm not going to be an idiot and buy a coffee machine for 300 quid that I don't need. But
yes, indeed.
Oh dear, shall we have a jingle?
Let's do that. I wonder who bought the Dexam Rotary Cheese Grater. Somebody did with my URL, my affiliate link, tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. The mystery buyer, unless it was you, of course, which sometimes happens, doesn't it?
Once in a blue moon, but no, I didn't buy a cheese grater, sorry.
But in actual fact, I'd like to hear from the person who bought this, if he doesn't mind, he or she doesn't mind coming forward. £13.85, it's made of plastic, and I found that this kind of whole plastic thing, you see, we got one of these cheese graters that was made of plastic, and in time, because the plastic was attached to the metal of the actual drum thingy, it just kind of came away with washing up or whatever. In the end, it just broke, and you then just had to go and buy another one because, I mean, it rendered it useless. And we concluded that an all-metal version might actually be better if it was there was no joints with bits of plastic. But I don't know, because this Dexam one could well be an exception. So if you bought this and you are using it and it's worth feeding back on, please do let us know if this is the exception, because it looks really cheap, really good, and on the face of it could be a bit of a... Oh, no, it can't be a cheap as chips, can it? It's too much. Judge Barton will tell us off.
So it's a bit like the potato ricer, but for cheese. And as you press the cheese in, you turn the handle and it gets grated on the way past. So it's a sort of combination between a potato presser and a mincer.
Indeed. It's a very old-fashioned
cheese
design.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can put carrots in it and stuff as well, and the cucumber and whatever you want. It looks quite like a nice grater, but... Like I say, I'm just concerned about the plastic into metal. If it's all plastic or all metal, okay. But it was those joints that were the problem, I think. But let us know if you bought this, please. If it's standing up.
Jingle.
Ted's top tips. It's very noisier. It's like being a normal place. Can you hear that? Can you hear that plane going across?
I can hear planes and dogs barking and the sound of civilization behind you. Yes, Ted.
Right, my top tip today is one again I put in the MeWe group this week, is if you people know what the all hole is for in your Swiss Army knife. So, if you've got a Swiss Army knife, particularly a Victorinox one, if you pull out the all blade. In the middle of it, there's a little hole. And you think to yourself, what on earth is that hole for? Well, we now know. And it is for sewing in the wild. I've put a link in the show notes to a 3-minute YouTube video, which demonstrates exactly how you do that. And it is quite smart and very clever. And I can't imagine for the life of me someone needing to sew two bits of leather together in the middle of Yellowstone
Park. You never know. Never expect the unexpected, Ted.
But it, as usual, when you post something about Victorinox and Swiss Army knives, our crowd in MeWe just love it. They're away and they're posting pictures of their versions and they just love it. It's really good fun. And once in a while, we just kind of put it up there and let people run with it and they have great fun. So, yeah, good for everyone. But anyway, yeah, that hole is so you can sew things together and the video shows you exactly how you do it.
I found it very interesting because I've always been befuddled how sewing machines work, because the needle's supposed to go in one round and turn round and come back the other way and go forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards. And this video showed me how that isn't the case. So
exactly.
Educational too.
It pulls the cord through with it. But yeah, very interesting. And that's my top tip of the show.
Jingle.
Still using and still using.
I am still using my Thronmax, which sounds like some sort of superhero film, the Thronmax Caster XLR microphone boom arm, which is exactly what it says on the tin. It's a boom arm that clamps to my table and I have my microphone upon the end of it. It's not cheap. I paid $69.99 for it, but I've been using it for 4 years. So, I mean, $17.50 a year doesn't sound quite so bad. And, of course, I use it constantly, and it's serving me very well. The only qualm I have with it is that recently-ish, about a year ago, I had to replace my microphone, and my new microphone, plus the pop shield on the front of it, is rather heavy, a little too heavy for the boom, and it does struggle occasionally, sometimes collapsing without warning. But that's my fault. That's not the boom. The boom is fabulous, and I'm otherwise very happy with it. So,
can you not tighten the pivots?
They
the joints?
Are tightened to the point that if I try to tighten them anymore, I'm going to break the thread. Yeah, they are absolutely. I mean, the thing is, I don't know the physics of it, but it's all to do with balance. And obviously, I've just got a little bit too much weight on the end of it for it to be able to balance properly.
You could pour some super glue in the joint.
Something like that, Ted. Yes, and it's cable. There's a cable running through it, so you don't have to go threading your microphone cable through it or dropping it around.
That's good.
The
cable
comes right through to the end where the mic. So it's pleasant. It's attractive. It looks very professional. I feel like I'm a BBC studio in here, and still works. Yes, still using.
Very good.
4 years on.
Well done indeed. It does look lovely.
Thank you.
And I've had these boom arms in the past before, and they're okay if you've got a very solid desk or table or whatever to attach it to. But I haven't, and it was a bit of a disaster. But back in the day when I did have, they were great, and you could just so easily get the microphone out the way. It's just so simple instead of trying to balance it on things or whatever.
I think if I ever needed to replace it, I would look at the ceiling hanging thing, because that appeals to me as well, to have it just coming down from above. But I'd like one of these ones you can lift up and down.
Very good indeed. Very nice indeed. So you're still using that all this time later. I'm still using the Kinetic Sand you sent over. Would you remember that?
I do remember discovering that. And I sent you some in the post, didn't I?
You did. You sent me a bag of it. And I just wanted to mention that it's still here. And for those that don't remember it, it's an executive toy almost. It's this kind of sand which kind of sticks together but doesn't really stick together, and you can make it into different shapes, and it sits as if it's wet sand on the beach, but if you want to just break it up, then it becomes dry sand. It's really clever stuff, and who knows what's in it or how they've made it happen, but that was in March 2020 and I'm still using that. I still fiddle about with it now and again, and it hasn't spoiled in any way in that time, so I really enjoy it. Are you still playing with those little bricky things?
Little bricky things? You've lost me now.
Those little fidget toys that
I sent you.
Oh, the
fidget toys? No! Yeah. I hadn't thought about them in a long time. Nor had I thought about the kinetic sand until I read it in our recording notes before today. Right. And mine is in the garage somewhere, and I must get it out. I'm actually going to type a note in my phone now as we speak to remind me to go and find my kinetic sand out of the garage and play with it.
Good fun indeed.
But no, the fidget cubes, I haven't... No, that's something else I haven't seen for a while. But I'm quite pleased with that because they really were addictive. And I couldn't put the damn things down and they were getting dirty because when you've played with them for so long, all the grease and grit comes off your hands and makes them sweaty and dirty and horrible. So no, please don't remind me.
We had one of our listeners, I think it might have been Danny Hoy, was the kind of... The master of the fidget toys.
Yes.
He used to come up with lots of different examples of that, and he tried them all out. Do you remember that?
I think
it was Danny Hoy.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I mean, I have to fidget. I have to say, while we've been talking, do you remember we brought these plastic toothpick things onto the show not that long ago? The little bit of... little bit of dental floss stretched between two pieces of plastic that you can
use.
Well, I've been fiddling with one since we started recording, and it's now in three pieces, and I'm breaking one back and forth in my fingers until it becomes five. I have to fiddle with something all the time. Oh, missus.
Right.
I'm the kinetic sand must come out of the garage at once.
Yes, we'll both have a play.
Jingle!
I've been to the original factory shop again.
Oh, the one you found in the last show and talked about that I'd never heard of. And yeah, there we go.
I'm their best customer now. I went there this week and I wanted a lamp for my desk and just a simple lamp with a simple switch and no smart this and clever that. Just an old-fashioned lamp.
Good man. Hear, hear.
That you plug into a 3-pin plug socket as well. Not a USB thing. And, you know, they have one for £8 and it's absolutely perfect. It didn't have a bulb in it for £8, but I had to buy another bulb. I had to buy a bulb for it. But apart from that, it's absolutely perfect. And it's just bright and it just does the job. And when I want to turn it off, I turn the switch off. And when I want to turn it on, I turn the switch on. And it's just simple and great and it's perfect for my desk. So I'm really pleased with that. And the other thing,
I was just going to say, that does mean, though, that when you're taking your first-class flight home from Los Angeles, you can't turn it on with your phone on the way home. Sorry about that, Ted.
Like the kettle from Istanbul. Yeah. Well, actually, you could, because you could plug the 3-pin plug into
a
thingy.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Anyway, while I was there, I also realised that my jug, which I use for cooking stuff in, was absolutely knackered and disgusting coloured. And it didn't have any of the markings still on it. So I thought, oh, look, I've seen this mug here, this jug here, £6, proper, genuine Pyrex, you know, 1 litre or no, half litre mug, whatever, the pint mug, pint jug. Just the usual thing that you see from Pyrex. And it's just great. It works fine. It should last a lifetime. The one thing that people tend to break with these Pyrex mugs is the spout, of course. I know that my mum's got one and the spout was just like cracked because it hit something. But apart from that, really thick glass. £6. You can't go wrong. Anyway, that was a second shout out really for the original factory shop. If you've got one anywhere near you, then do go and have a look because it's great fun and you'll enjoy a mooch around looking at whatever they've got in there.
Did you used to have, or did you just look, put it in, I want one of those? There was a jug that you brought to the show that I was very tempted to buy but didn't, where you could look in from above and you could see the levels because it had a sort of a leveler at an angle. So as you looked down, did you own one of those?
No, I didn't. I think that I recommended that we have one for the purpose that you just described. And I think I suggested it to my mum. And then my mum, who's just come back in, she's walking. And so they can't have knackered her completely in the CAT scan. She was thinking about it, but never actually got to do it. I think that was the case. But yeah, you're right. I think you were thinking about it as well, because it looked like it was quite clever, didn't it?
So we all thought about it, but nobody actually went and bought one.
Yeah. but yeah, there are lots of different kind of cooking implements in the way of jugs, which are quite interesting. So yeah, have a good look around. But do, as I say, the original factory shop is just great fun. It's like going into an Aladdin's cave, and you never know what's going to be in there, and what's on special offer, and what they've got this week. And it's good fun. I'm very pleased there's one round the corner from me.
I will see your £6 purchases, and I will raise you £1.99, because for £7.99, I was delighted to find the Famicozy mini-size alarm clock on our favourite shop. I've had one of these for decades. I mean, I had it really for so many years and loved it. It's a proper, again, like your light, it's good, old-fashioned. Yes, all right, it is a battery-driven one. It's not actually a wind-up, but it doesn't do anything except it's a clock with an alarm on it, and it's a physical button that you turn the alarm on and off with. And I love it, and I loved it. But not long ago, the battery door fell off the back and got lost. So when I saw this one on Amazon as an exact replacement for only £8, I couldn't resist it, and I bought one, and I'm very, very happy with it all over again, and I've kept the old one as a backup. The Famicozy mini-size alarm clock. Again, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of these for sale in various places, but this one is tried and tested by me over many, many years, and I'm very happy with it. It's tiny. It's my travel alarm clock. I can pop it in my bag when I travel. It doesn't take up any space, and it's utterly reliable.
Not only is it as cheap as chips, it's also a still using, because I bought one of these for my dad. I think we spoke about it last year, because I got it for him for Christmas, and it's here, right? I happen to be here, so I'll go and grab it, and it's on his desk here, and he really likes it. Hang on, here it is, I've got it now. It's now the battery door is not falling off. And he quite often says to me, that's really handy to have on my desk. And it's a nice little alarm. Same thing. I don't know if it's actually a Fami what's it, but it's essentially the same thing. And they're great. Yeah. Viva, what was it you say? Viva the analog.
Indeed.
Right. Midgeway.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have you ever tried citronella to control midges?
Yes, with the little candles. I used them years ago. Yes, yes.
Did you? Did they work?
They did work. And they smell nice.
And I found that they've worked. I bought these 25 little candles. They're called tea light candles.
Yes, yes.
And you get 25 of them for £4, or no doubt they'll be cheaper on the slow boat from China. But in Amazon, 25 for £4 odd. And I've been inundated with midges in my static.
May I interrupt you again, Ted? I do apologise, but I have to say, you're not suggesting that anybody would consider £4 for 25 to be too expensive and therefore want the slow boat from China. I mean, please. That's an incredible price.
Well, some people would say, well, why would you pay £4 when you could pay £1? And if you're not in a hurry, what's the problem? I can see the argument, the economic argument. Anyway, most of us want it the next day, don't we?
Yes.
So I don't know where they've come from. I think they might have come from my dustbin, because one day when I was trying to get organised with recycling, I brought the dustbin in the house, and I wonder if that day was the day that they all got in, and I just couldn't get rid of it. Anyway, so very, very annoying it all was, and I put these little tea-like candles out with citronella in them, and as soon as I did it, I burned them for about an hour or something, and I didn't see any midges anymore. They'd all gone. So they've certainly worked the same as they did for you, by the sounds of it. Each one of them is supposed to last for 4 hours burning. So 25 times 4 hours is 100 hours. So there's plenty of scope there to midge away. So no more midges in my eyesight, thank you.
John Doe says you can always make a trap. Oh, instead. Half fill a glass with water, he says. Add a tablespoon of sugar and then a couple of tablespoons of white wine vinegar or cider vinegar. And finally, the magic ingredient, a drop or two of dishwasher detergent, which is supposed to reduce the surface tension of the water. Thus, the flying critters land in the water, thinking it's some kind of rotting fruit, but sink to the bottom. Oh, you can. And there we say we didn't want to do practical jokes. It works slowly over a few days, and numbers will come down if you leave two or three of these traps around. Works great for controlling fruit flies and midges inside. However, it won't be as quick as your candles, nor as easy. I mean, you've got to put it together in the first place, but it's a good shout, John. You don't have to worry about leaving a candle on. You just put these things out and then they're there night and day. So there is that.
Well, that's what I was going to come back to about the safety of fire, you know, because having candles around the place, in fact, someone did mention this in the group, that they're very paranoid about catching things on fire. But I mean, these tea light candle holder thingies, they're fairly wide on the floor and not very high in the air. I mean, you'd have to really do something drastic to knock it over, I think.
Tea candles are universal, and I think they must be pretty safe or they wouldn't be sold in the billions.
Yes. Anyway, so there you go, 25 for £4 odd, and they seem to work. I'll feed back and tell you during the summer, no doubt, if they don't work.
Ooh, I've got bad news and good news.
Hmm.
The bad news, I've just had a mouthful of lukewarm tea.
Another broken cup.
Hey, and the good news is I've justified vindication. The ember is for the bin. Oh, brilliant. There you are, folks, live on air. It's dead.
I still say you should send it back to them because they're such a company, I think, that would probably be keen to make sure you're happy. And even if it's out of warranty, even if it's years out of warranty, but, it just might be worth an email, I think.
I shall do that very thing.
Well done.
I want one, I want one, I want one.
I want one of those.
I want a Fujifilm X100 Mark VI.
I'm sure you and do.
I know it's all a bit techie, but I really want one of those badly.
What is it? What is a Fuji 100X?
It's a camera, and it's a fixed lens camera, which is not the kind of thing that people generally tend to want this at the moment. Now, just to put the context in here, I had an X100F years ago, and in fact, I probably talked about it on this very show, and it's one of my biggest regrets that I let it go. I sold it. I know I've said this before, and it's the acquisition of something like this that would actually get me back into photography, I think.
Ted, are we talking actual 35mm, or are we still talking to...
Hang on a minute. The cleaner's arrived. Oi, keep the noise down. I'm recording here.
I'm just wondering if this is actually old-school Vive la Analog 35mm film, or whether this is a digital camera.
No, it's a digital camera, okay. But it's not film. But it's cost £1,500. But the bigger problem here is that Fujifilm just don't seem to have made enough of them. They had this pre-order thing going on. Even if you had £1,500 to spare, they haven't made enough. So these pre-orders, everyone's being really disappointed. They're shipping them out really slowly. There's a bunch of crooks on eBay who bought a load of them up and they're selling them for £6,000 a piece.
Oh, God, yeah.
It seems to me that Fujifilm have completely underestimated the demand, or they're trying to generate demand to make them really popular. Well, I don't know what they're doing, but it's an absolutely gorgeous camera. It really is. And the X100F that I had, I just loved it. It's got a really clever viewfinder. It's got a hybrid viewfinder, which is optical or electronic, depending on what you want. The whole thing is just gorgeous. It's wonderful. And as I say, if I was to have that one of those, I would start taking photographs again. I'd make myself, I think. But then I said that last time. So anyway, there you go. It was a quick one because it's a bit techie. And by the way, I've still got your Nikon camera here, which I never use.
Ted, I was just thinking, if I had £1,500 to spare, I would buy myself a Fellows Aiden coffee machine. Has that lady finished building a house behind you?
She's like... She's obviously didn't realise that I was recording, but she's... pumping through all her equipment through to do the cleaning. She comes here once a week.
Put her in room 101 since we're there. Chuck her in.
Yes. Right. Nice slinky link. Well done. I'd like to put into room 101 the state of UK dentistry again. The availability and the NHS approach to what constitutes dental emergency. Okay, right. Let me explain. So if you have got a dental emergency and you want to get seen as an emergency by the NHS, they will not consider it unless you've actually got a broken tooth or you've got an infection. If you've got a broken tooth, i.e. a tooth has actually fractured and it's in half or something, then they'll consider that an emergency. And if you've got a swelling, i.e. an infection, they will also consider that an emergency and they'll give you Amoxil, no doubt. But dentistry is just so hard to... I've been on the waiting list for my family dentist now for like 6 months. And just this week, I was told that that they'll take me in. I've got an appointment later this week, actually, the first time. 6 months later, apparently it's all tied up with Brexit. We're not going to go there in this show, but they tell me that they can't recruit dentists. And the young dentists coming through training, they want to live and work in cities, not in the arse end of nowhere like North Wales. So I think that seems to be the problem. It's not enough people being allowed in from the continent, I guess, and not being able, dentist practices, not being able to recruit people, especially in rural areas and not cities. But it's just been a complete pickle for me to get on the books of a dentist. And just now, 6 months later, I've been able to do it. So, phew.
Especially considering your trepidation of going at all that we've discussed before.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you've got to have to gird your loins and, you know... I don't know what you need to do, what process of meditation or tablet taking you have to go through and get yourself
temazepam. Temazepam is my friend.
I prefer marzipan. Now, anyway, I concur with what you're saying and I wish you all the best. And for goodness sake, don't wuss out of it, otherwise you'll be waiting another 6 months.
No, I won't. I absolutely can't do that because you're quite right. If you get struck off their books, I'll have to start again.
Here, I tell you what mine is. I've just noticed of late. As you know, I'm not very keen on social media, so I may be talking out of my bottom here. But I've noticed what appears to me to be a new prevalence of videos, all of which have subtitles, usually in the middle of the screen in fancy fonts, in English. For no reason at all. And if I was making this video now, if this monologue was a video, everything that I'm saying would be appearing in front of me in English text in funny colours and fonts for apparently no reason at all. Now, I think it started with Instagram and I presume also TikTok, although I'm not a TikToker, so I don't know. I've seen it on Instagram now very, very, very frequently. I would say the majority of videos that pop up on my Instagram where people are talking, they're accompanied by these subtitles. And now it's even moving on to onto YouTube. I forget what it was, but I was looking up something on YouTube. I think it was the mugs, actually. I think I was investigating the Ember mug versus the Vistu just the other day. And, you know, serious, in inverted commas, unboxing and review videos of these mugs were accompanied by these wretched subtitles. And what's happening? Is the world just getting dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber that we now can't hear the spoken word anymore and we need subtitles? Or is it just a fashion? Or am I talking out of my bottom?
It's not dumber and dumber and dumber. It's deafer and deafer and deafer. Think about poor people that haven't got hard of hearing.
Now, I thought you'd say that, Ted. And certainly YouTube already has a function where if for any reason you cannot understand what's being said, and sometimes I use it because people just talk so badly you can't understand what we're saying, you can turn that on and you can then have subtitles at your own discretion on or off. So I'm sorry, no, I don't buy that. I have every sympathy for people who are hard of hearing and will need the subtitles, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these compulsive can't turn them off on every bloody video subtitles.
Well, that depends on the platform, because YouTube you can turn that off and on with, but other platforms you can't turn it off and on. It depends what tools they make available to the developers. And it is a bit trendy at the moment because AI is making it available to anyone to do stuff like this, and everyone's playing with it and making it all happen. It will settle down. Don't you fret.
Well, meanwhile, I'm putting it in room 101.
Okay, then. Oh, there's that jingle again.
You didn't, Ted. Come on, all together now.
Right, I'm giving a gold star to the Amazon pre-order price promise. I might have done this before, but anyway, I'm doing it again. I ordered an LP recently, which is not going to be released until September, right? I paid, inverted commas, although they don't take the money until dispatch, $19.99 for it. And right. That's the price it was when I clicked. I now see it's up to £24.99 and rising. The pre-order price promise is that as soon as you click it, whatever the lowest price is between the click and them dispatching it is the price you pay. So I guess that they must value pre-orders so much that they just take the hit on it, because if that ends up being £30, I'm going to get it for £19.99. Do you see what I mean? So I think that deserves a gold star. It's really good for the customer, good for me. They get their pre-order, which they value, but I get the cheapest price there is between clicking and going forward. It encourages pre-orders. So while you're messing about with the show notes and not listening to me...
No, I was listening to you. I was just trying to understand it. I'm trying to get my poor little head... But yes, okay,
yeah,
yes.
But if you've been listening, then you would have understood it. Oh, no.
I'm just going to move swiftly on then. Oh, dear listener, the reason I was faffing around with the show notes is because I was wondering whether I'd got time for another monologue before we hit the hour. But now you're going to get it.
Before we go on, seriously, have you ever done a pre-order promise thing with Amazon?
I've never done pre-order. I've pre-ordered. I mean, I've got a book on pre-order at the moment, yeah. But I've never heard of the pre-order price promise.
Oh, okay.
So, no.
Well, not everything has the price promise.
Right.
And there's a little badge that says if it has or not.
Okay.
But LPs tend to do so. I'll let you know what in September what price it ended up being. Go on, your turn.
Well, mine is Amazon again. I want to give my gold star to Amazon deliveries and returns. Yes, I know, yet again, and Amazon's in room 101 one week and gold star the next. But I just wanted to... quickly go through my experience of deciding not to use Amazon and to use a different company, in this case, Thalmann in Germany and DHL. You'll remember that I was trying out sound desks before I settled on my new little external sound card device.
Yes.
And I tried first the Hercules 200 XLR, which I talked about on the show because it looked beautiful with my Stream Deck, but it was actually more for streamers and it wasn't right for me. So I wanted to send it back. I bought it from Thalmann in Germany and it was £30 cheaper there than on Amazon. So I thought, right, let's not always just jump to Amazon. Let's buy it from Thalmann. Took 5 days to arrive, which is fine. I expected that. But then when it did arrive, the DHL delivery screwed up. They gave me a window. They gave me the hour window. So I made sure I was home in plenty of time. And they'd already been. They came about 2 or 3 hours early and took it away again. So I had to wait another 24 hours to receive it. Of course, Amazon would have just put it on the doorstep and run away, which is risky, yes, but it's a lot faster. And anyway, Amazon delivered the next day in the first place. So... Once I decided I didn't want it and I wanted to return it, that was fairly straightforward, same as Amazon. But I then had to print out a return form, fill it in an old-fashioned way with a pen and put it in the envelope, put it in the package to return the item, which then took a good week to get back, after which I got an email saying that the item had been received and would be inspected in due course. And a couple of days after that, they said, yes, we've inspected it. You'll get your refund. And then a couple of days after that, the money finally came through. On the other hand, Amazon refunds are processed the moment the outward package has left your house, practically. As soon as the postman has scanned it and Amazon can see that you've put it into the post, they issue the refund before they've even got it back. So basically, it's a 1 or 2 day refund versus 12 or 13. So I just wanted to make the point that with Thalmann, it took a week to arrive and then a week to return. But Amazon can do the whole thing in 2 or 3 days. Not to mention the endless stream of emails I received from both Thalmann and DHL to say, we've got it. It's coming. It's going. We're getting it there. You've got it. What did you think of it? So at the end of the day, I don't really think it was worth the 30 quid saving. I'd rather have paid 30 quid and just have had it the next day from Amazon and then said, oops, I don't want it, and returned it the following day. What I want to stress is I'm not putting Tolman or DHL into Room 101, because those companies are behaving like all companies behave, and that's the kind of system and kind of delivery and service that we expect. What I want to raise here is the extraordinary service from Amazon, that you order something and they're knocking on the door with it before you've put the phone down. And if you want to return it, as I say, the moment they've picked it up, you get your money back. It's just an amazing... And even if they are, you know, unfair in their monopoly and they're not very friendly to the planet, they nevertheless provide the best bloody service you can get. So for that reason, I give Amazon a gold star.
I think that company should be put into Room 101, because they're assuming that you have got a printer and they're assuming that it's okay to just kill trees and for no reason at all, except that they haven't got the infrastructure in place to do it electronically. They're making people have a printer and kill trees and everything. So I think they should go in Room 101.
All right, that's an interesting point. But I also wonder how many other companies, I mean, if you decided to order and return items from some 100 companies, how many of them would come anywhere close to the service that we get from Amazon?
Good question. You go and research it.
Thank you. I will.
You've got to order 100 things.
Okay.
and you've got 3 weeks to do it, because that's when we'll be next with you on this very podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this one. I think we're kind of up to the hour now, so we'll clear off and leave you in peace. Whateverworks.works is our website, links to all the stuff we do in there. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan, TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me, and in TedSalmon.com you'll have links to all the MeWe groups, all the audio podcasts. Watch out for all of those. But yes, the MeWe group is where we'd like you to hang out and engage with us. Tell us whatever works in your life. Bring some of the stuff. Let's get that engagement back to the level it was 2 years ago, and let's have some item from you. Tell us what you've been buying and what's crap and what's great. We'd love to hear from you. We really would. And it gives us content from the show. Who knows? We might even be able to go back to 2 weekly. Good time. So, Aidan, last words to you, as always.
If you are a silent member, don't be. Let us hear from you.
Yes. Fine last words.
That was it. That was a pricey.
Right, okay then. That's it then. We're done, I think. One last thing to say, as always. Don't forget.
Whatever works.
Works.
Ah, gold star. Oh, sorry.